Welcome back to another episode of the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd Barnes.
Me, Jake Keane.
Welcome to episode 32, y'all.
32, baby. Half of 64, my lucky number.
Also, it's the position or the described position for the Marlow automatic placement. So if you ever do that effect or effects like that, I've taught a couple of different handlings before then feel free to somehow use or incorporate this episode number. Or maybe just
It's also my age. Unless you're listening to the Black Art Podcast the day it comes out. It's the age of recording, but the day this comes out, I'll be 33. Yay!
Oh, you're 33 on Wednesday?
Yeah,
I think. I thought you were older than me, dude. I'm so sorry, I did. It's because you have like an old wise look about you.
Because I look like an old troll.
Currently,
Especially at the moment.
I was going to say, how you feel? Normally we don't spend the first few minutes of the show wasting time about how each other's weeks are, but how are you, mate?
I'm on, this might be my last episode. You might have to start looking for a new co-host because I'm on death's door. Thankfully, this is no longer a video podcast, so no one else has to be subjected to my current appearance.
I'm currently looking at a homeless version of Gollum.
Yeah.
Or Gimli, maybe, from Lord of the Rings. Jake has been experiencing ass problems.
Nice.
I was trying to think of a nicer way to phrase it, and then it just came out like that.
Well, I have food poisoning at the moment. It's not going very well. I look like in any medieval movie when there's just a poor homeless person begging for bread. It's my current appearance, wrapped in a blanket with a hood.
As opposed to a rich homeless person.
If you're just going to spend the whole episode undermining me, Lloyd.
I'll just play. I feel for you, man. Food poisoning sucks.
Yeah, it does. It really does. I took a day off from work, so we're recording this in the daytime. Daytime
hey,
episode.
Baby. Very different Monday to usual. Daytime. Well, on that note, let's get straight into the creativity side of things. This is if you haven't listened to us before, we're a magic podcast. We discuss anything to do with creativity in magic. So there's so many other podcasts out there. I'm part of some of them where they talk about news and what's been happening. This podcast focuses solely on coming up with new magic ideas, new effects, talking about magic concepts. And we like to dabble in the mysterious side of things. So we like to talk about mysticism. Ooh. We also like to talk about incorporating magic rituals or anything that can really enhance the magic to the viewer at home. We don't mind allowing the viewer to suspend disbelief or the participant to suspend disbelief. Not to say that we actively encourage people to tell them that magic is real, but rather we let it sort of blur the lines a little bit. So if you're into that type of thing and you're into creativity and coming up with new methods and ideas. And so what's cool about this podcast is that so many people have gone off from listening to the episodes, have created effects that we've discussed and then shared them with the world. And that's sort of the main goal from this. So,
yeah, it's absolutely killer, man. Literally just this morning, I got a message on Instagram from at Nick Magic, who is a listener of ours down in London, who had taken some of the stuff that I'd spoke about book tests in the last episode and came up with a killer new way of doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he open to discuss? Are you open to discuss that? Or?
I think he might actually be planning on using it at some point.
Oh, wow.
So
cool.
Maybe not. Oh, cool. Right away. I'll speak to him about it.
Yeah, super interesting. For another day, we'll park it for another day. So this week, we can't not talk about, for creativity's purposes, the big announcement from David Copperfield, the man, the myth, the legend himself, is going to make the moon disappear.
Oh, it's so good just to have big news about magic.
First of all, let's talk about a few different things. How are you going to do it? Why is this good for magic? Is this bad? Could this be a bad thing for magic? You know, we could discuss this because I know we don't talk about topics in this genre. It's more about creativity. But in terms of the creative side of things, I think we're in a lot more of a different world now where so much of what is commonplace to us for like methods is quite like publicly out there. A lot of things which was, like, magicians have always been pushing the envelope of science and technology.
Yeah.
But I just hope that it is this, like, years ago, you could make the Statue of Liberty vanish. And I think partially because the internet didn't exist properly as it is at the time, helped keep the secret alive for longer, you know, helped build the mystery of it. I actually never got to see the Statue of Liberty vanish until a couple of years ago, like maybe, I say a couple, but not like 10 years ago. I never got to see that video. So for me, it was always left to my imagination about how it looked, in a sense. And I wonder now, with whatever method he uses, will this be openly, will somebody just go, oh, yeah, it was drones, you know, straight away? Like, could it backfire? What do you think?
Yeah. We were talking about this a little earlier on the phone, and I'm not sure. It's strange because even when he announced it, he did say, you know, 30 years of work have gone into this, almost openly touting the fact that it's a method. Method involved.
Which isn't like Copperfield. Like, I'm pretty sure he allows his audience to believe that what he does is real. I don't think I've ever alluded him. I haven't heard him allude to his secrets having a method. I'm not sure, though, because Copperfield wasn't huge in the UK.
Yeah.
So I'm not too sure on like his whole history and how open he is about stuff. But yeah, he's been working on it for 30 years is...
Yeah, it's... Sorry,
Is it almost like, you know, I don't know. I wonder if he's going to approach from, hey, I'm actually going to make this moon, the moon disappear, or I got an incredible new trick. He's got an amazing method. I'm going to share it with you all on YouTube, or however he's going to, you know, do it live around the world. But not, you know, not try to pull the wool over everyone's eyes to the extreme, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but presumably it is going to be a live event of some kind. It's got to be, hasn't it?
It's got to. Well, first of all, there's a you can win tickets to go and see it live. Now, that means there's only a small selected amount. Now, the one thing which I find interesting is that certain events, like remember Uri Geller bending spoons across the nation or fixing broken watches, take the broken watch, place it on top of your TV, think positive thoughts or whatever, and it would start. And then some watches would actually start working because they'd just been wiggled about a bit, you know, for the first time in years. So it generated that buzz. I remember Wayne Houchin, I think he was in South America, he turned all the clocks back 1 hour. You know, it was like a countrywide event. Now the moon can be seen, at least in like if you're in the States, for example, everyone in the whole state should be able to see the moon. So is he gonna make it vanish for everybody in one place or, you know, multiple places? Or is the fact that only a select audience can be there, you know, is he going to do it at a time of day when the moon is low in the air? So it's going to be shielded by mountains and he'll do it, you know, in some part of the Mojave Desert or something. You know, what do you think?
You did. You know, I can't remember if it was Facebook or Instagram. One of the posts, perhaps it was one of the press releases, he said over the past few months, people around, you know, Nevada have been reporting seeing strange things in the sky. Like, let me know if you've seen any of my testing going on.
So, wait, that's what he said?
I'm sure that, unless I'm completely mistaken, because I have been in a hallucinating state the past day or two, I'm sure that there was something in a press release that said
interesting.
Yeah, people have reported seeing things in the sky. If you've seen anything whilst I've been testing or something along those lines, I'm sure.
We'll quickly look at his Instagram right now to see.
It might not have been on Instagram, but it was... What was it?
He put up a post yesterday saying 30 years of work or full moon tonight, and then the next post, February. I mean, February's interest as well, because is it a leap year next year?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it a leap year next year? It is. It is a leap year. So is he going to make the moon disappear by making a day disappear or something? Do you know what I mean? I know it sounds ridiculous, but there is something to be said about that. Do that with the day disappearing?
With the day disappearing?
Yeah, or it's like, you know, it's too common knowledge though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm looking for this press release as I'm talking. It's interesting though that it's February and it's a leap year. There's something magic about that in itself. I wonder what the lunar cycle is. for that time of year. Is there a solar eclipse? A lunar eclipse even?
I feel like I should have done my research more before we started recording.
Oh, it's nice to speculate because then we can't get in trouble.
That's true. I did just see something then in the Las Vegas Review Journal where he's talking about her and he said, my secrets are on the moon. Remember that?
Really?
I have multiple methods to make it work. I'm just trying to keep it wondrous. That's why it's taken me so long.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
So multiple methods. So he's definitely not, by saying multiple methods, he's definitely not going to try and say that it's real magic.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm so interested in it. How would you do it?
How would I do it? Well, at first I would be the, you know, one of the world's first only $1 billion net worth magicians.
Pardon? Yeah.
And then I think it would probably have to be something with drones or...
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's the first thing. But then because it's the first thing everyone thinks of, that's why it...
Yeah, if I'm creating something for Copperfield, if I'm on the team for this, which I'm not, but if I was on the team for this, the very first thing I would do, and I do this for a lot of my magic creations anyway, I've spoken about this a lot, is that I would write down the first group of methods that come to my head.
Yeah.
And then strike them off the list of methods we're not allowed to touch. Because if they come into my head and I'm one person, they can come to anyone's head. So that's the first thing I do. So first thought is projections or drones, I think. And also utilizing the same method as the Statue of Liberty, which is fairly common knowledge now.
Yeah.
Those would be on the lists of do not touch, I think.
Oh, it makes it so much harder when you strike off all these things.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, what's the you know Star Wars Land in Disney?
Yeah,
I don't remember, it's a block. Didn't they have like a floating moon or something where they were teasing it?
I've never been.
I'm sure. Well, it's only recently been open in the last few years, but I'm sure I've seen something like they had an actual. And I might be completely wrong, but I swear in some of the build up to it is like they had an actual. And it was a fake like second moon or fake Death Star in the sky.
Oh, really?
That's yeah. Kind of cool. Very, very cool. I mean, Disney, the theme parks, there's some crazy stuff like that full body robot of Spider-Man and thing. So,
yeah, that's crazy. But, I remember watching the documentary for the documentary about Disneyland, and half of the people who work there seem to be magicians in some form or another. they have, you know, some of the illusions that are on display in the rides and stuff. I'm sorry, Lloyd, I can't even speak properly.
No, but what they have is Imagineers, and Imagineers are oftentimes illusion builders or magicians. Some of them are gaff card makers that I know and stuff. Some of them are just engineers or creative problem solvers. So, and I find a lot of times, a lot of big illusions often rely on principles that are already out there. So, I don't know whether what we'll see is absolutely, completely groundbreaking. I would absolutely love it to be, for the record. Yeah. My favorite thing in the world is new methods, new secrets, new illusions, micro or large. So I hope that it's something completely, you know, 30 years of working on it. They must have been sitting around in a room one day talking about, you know, what can we do? We can walk through the Great Wall of China. Okay, let's do that. We can walk through the Statue of Liberty. Okay, let's do that. And then someone said, let's make the moon vanish. Okay, let's do that. But we'll park it and we'll come back to it when we have a great method.
Yeah.
So 30 years, I hope it's going to be something absolutely wild.
I think almost the most boring method is also one of the most interesting to me, is if there is some kind of quirk with the lunar cycle where for some reason on this day, you know, 30 years from when it was planned, this is something that they can take advantage of.
Yeah, I'm looking at the next lunar eclipse in the USA. I wonder if you'll even do it in the USA.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
No, it's not till March 2025.
Hmm.
There's one in March 24. 28th of October, there's a partial one. Just gone. 25th of March, in it's a penumbral lunar eclipse.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to be so much doing that.
No.
Maybe like using like a natural event. Because if he did also, it'd be quite widely reported.
Yeah, that's true.
I think something along the lines of getting a safe audience of 100 people in the mountains of Las Vegas, Nevada, right? Near the Grand Canyon. As he brings them into view, let's say there's a mountain range where you can see the moon between two peaks. So it's kind of framed, kind of like the Statue of Liberty. But as he brings them round, maybe on the tour, on the bus that gets them there, right? Because they're out in the desert. They can see the real moon. As they come around and the moon's shielded, in that area, there is a projection of the moon, or there's, you know, some form of glass or something, you know, where they can obscure or switch the real moon for the fake moon.
Yeah.
I really don't think they'll be using the rotated audience again. I don't think that'll be a thing they do.
Right? No, I think that's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I think they're just going to say, oh, same thing again. No, the interesting thing for me is what the convince is going to be. Will there be a drone light in the sky? Will there be an airplane flying underneath it that stays in the constant line? Which I think something like that will happen. You know, like something, what's going to be the extra little cherry on top moment that will make you go, oh, we haven't moved, or it didn't go anywhere. There's got to be something, right?
Yeah, the helicopter cam.
Yeah. Yeah, the helicopter cam.
Oh. But I guess the other thing is as well, if it was a static disappearance and reappearance where it can all be controlled, when it comes back, you have to be able to see it from a different angle. So it has to somehow transfer back from this reappearing fake moon into the real moon. I'm not even making sense here. Sorry, I'm sweating to death.
Jake is currently dying.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Stomach troubles. Bringing it back to. And also, is he going to cover it with a sheet, or is he going to cover it with his hand? Is it going to vanish in slow motion? Is it going to flash vanish? Is it going? You know, is he going to let a child hold a balloon up in front of the audience and it floats up, and as it floats, the moon vanishes behind it?
Yeah, is it just going to be a huge wow gimmick in the sky?
Yeah, that'd be crazy. That would be crazy.
That's probably how they do it with drones.
I really don't know. Is it going to be smoke that just goes in front of it for a moment and then it vanishes? How would you do it? I give you an unlimited budget, Jake. How would you do it?
Well, I think first I'd want to know because it is such a big event, you would want to know which type of disappearance is the most impressive. So there would be a lot of research going into, which it might sound stupid going into that side of it, but I would want to know which way looked the best.
Yeah.
What way do you think looks the best? What would look the best? Slowly, instant. Almost like it's mirroring an actual eclipse.
The thing for me is that I would want to do it in slow motion because I love slow motion visual magic, right? But and that would just look like it just sort of eclipses in fast speed, or it just fades into black, which I don't think looks for the moon. I don't think that would look too magical because the moon kind of does that anyway, right? I think it'd have to have something interesting, like an extra element to it, not just organically slowly disappearing.
Do you think he could have potentially just literally spent millions to get a satellite up into space? Could cover it.
Well, he's a billionaire, so nothing is impossible. He's a billionaire, and this is probably... Right, I just checked today, he's 67 years old, so he's at retirement age now, at least for the UK. If this is his last thing, he doesn't need to make any more money in his life.
God, no.
In his next lives, or the next 10, 20 lives. He's a billionaire. But so this could be the thing that leaves his legacy. And it's also going to be the thing that inspires a new generation of magicians for decades to come.
Yeah.
So I'd be throwing everything at this. Yeah, if it's done right.
I wonder whether it is interesting because even
away with his finger.
What, sorry?
I wonder whether he wipes it away with his finger, like, it just like erases it.
That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It is interesting that even, 40 years removed from his heyday, this could definitely still influence, a bunch of 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
to still have that much sway.
I think, well, I mean, we're in a bit of a bubble because we are magicians, so we all know about it. I have no idea what the rest of the world is saying about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from layman's perspective, really. But I am looking forward to asking people about it, because I know when I go into work, there's at least one person who's going to be asking me about it.
Let me see. It's in some newspapers. It's in the Independent, the Daily Mail, the Today Show. Yeah, so it's making news headlines. I really wonder, because of the new landscape the world sort of seems to be in. I mean, Blaine doing the balloons was a global event, and everyone I know watched that. Or, I mean, regular people off like my Facebook and family and friends. So we know these things still work. Just will it work for Copperfield? It's such, but the thing is, it's such a bold claim. You have to see it. You just have to.
Yeah, I think even if it's just, oh, I'll put it on when it's happening, I think so many more people outside of the world of magic are going to be watching that. And Copperfield does have quite a hold on people of a certain generation who aren't even interested in magic day to day anyway. And I know people who are not interested in magic whatsoever, but they know a lot about David Copperfield for some reason.
He's just synonymous with the word magic and illusion. The thing is, I watch like a bunch of YouTube stuff because I'm a YouTuber, and one of the things that I've read lately is, for a video to be successful, oftentimes it's not about the content of the video at all. As long as you sort of deliver on what the thumbnail says to an extent, or the title says, it's about the idea. And this is the thing. This is the ultimate idea to interest someone. I'm going to make the moon vanish live. Okay, I have to see this. Whoever you are in the world, I don't think it's. I think you go and speak to any person on the street and tell them, or ask them, do you want to see me make the moon vanish? Yes, absolutely. So he's going to get. It's so bold. That's the thing, which I love about it, which I completely love. It's an event, and we don't get enough of these in magic.
So are you thinking the method isn't really going to matter too much, just so long as it's, well, because it is a big event?
Oh, if I'm Copperfield, obviously I'm taking this as seriously as I can. I'm throwing everything in the kitchen sink at it.
Yeah, because contrary to popular belief, Copperfield, it doesn't like exist outside of the magic community. He still goes to conventions every year. He still gives quotes to nobodies on their tricks and stuff. Like,
Yeah.
Copperfield isn't just a big billionaire in a mansion somewhere. He is still involved in the magic community quite a fair bit.
Yeah, I don't think he's like, I think, well, no, I'm not going to throw any names of magicians under the bus, but we've all seen over, especially after the 90s and things, other magicians would say, I'm going to do this, and then they would just pull in shitloads of stooges. Not really, Oftentimes, if you're doing a big thing like that, you will need certain particular people in certain particular places to be in on it. But you don't need everyone to be a stooge, and sometimes you don't need them at all, obviously. But there are some lazy magicians out there that'll say, I'm going to do this. And they just get 300 actors who you can tell none of them can act to just be part of it. So I don't see Copperfield doing that. He's the best of the best when it comes to illusions and big scale illusions. So he's going to go ham on it. But I just don't know. I just don't know whether what Blaine did so smartly is that he doesn't not put his magic tricks on a huge public scale, right? Like he doesn't say that. Well, he literally, I can't imagine Blaine saying, in February, I'm going to make the moon vanish. What he'll do is a stunt, a real stunt, which has a magical theme to it, and it could potentially blur the lines. But he's not going to try and make people. He what's the word? He's not going to have people try and pick it apart. Or if people try and pick apart what he does, you're not going to find anything because he's doing exactly what he says he's doing. Yeah, I'm holding onto these balloons. I have a harness. I have safety measures. I have a parachute. Da da da. It's just a big, giant fuck off stunt. With Copperfield, 30 years ago, making the Statue of Liberty vanish, it was really hard to discuss that with somebody across the world. You know, on a scale of thousands of people all commented on it at once. So I can't remember the last time there was a magic event this big where people could openly chat 10,000, a million people at a time, all having a go at the method.
Yeah, no, I can't remember the last kind of big thing besides any Blaine stuff. I mean, what was... Maybe like when Darren Brown did the lottery, that was quite big.
That's exactly what was in my head. Yeah. Darren Brown did the lottery. Doing the lottery, even. And yeah, even then, though, that was on Channel 4 in the UK, and we had MySpace, I think, was the third social media, if that. It was definitely MySpace, I think. And texted, but it wasn't like you could just put comments out there and get upvotes and likes on them. And the big way I discussed the Darren Brown lottery, I remember I was in college and we would discuss it in class.
Yeah.
Or, you know, on our lunch break. So yeah, this is a first for a lot of different reasons. And I wonder if, you know, say for example, he uses drones, then all it's going to take is for one commenter to go, oh, shit, he forgot to turn the light off on his drone. Or, oh, look to the left, here, 3 pixels down, screenshot, you're welcome.
Yeah, but public information, like freedom of information request, and, you know, the flight plan for 1,000 drones has released us. Because you've got to have paperwork for that stuff.
And the crazy thing is, that can all happen in real time as the illusion is fucking happening.
Yeah.
So it's got to be good. It's got to be good. Or, you know, the way it was, I think it'll be good. My gut says it'll be really good. And we'll all be left with our jaws on the floor. But it does make me wonder and worry, like, oh, are they going to just try and sort of use the same formula that happened before and hope that no one goes, hey, that's just the whole audience is turning? Or,
Yeah, like you say, it's a completely different landscape and everyone is a critic online.
Yeah. Well, you could just imagine the headline articles. David Copperfield leaves
blunder.
Viewers. Yeah, David Copperfield blunder leaves viewers deflated. David Copperfield's biggest moment was eclipsed by tech failures or something.
Yeah. Let's not speak that into the ether.
I don't know what that would do for his legacy.
I think he'd be all right.
Yeah,
I think you just gotta shrug it off. Oh well,
I'd love to come up with a close-up way of doing it.
Yeah. You could, if you had the right angles, you could definitely do something cool.
There's a trick.
Go on.
Sorry, I was gonna say there's a trick with Paul from Paul Harris's Art of Astonishments. I think it's in one of the footnotes, maybe. Make it a... What is it? You either make a star or an aeroplane disappear.
Ooh.
Which one is it? I can't bloody remember now. But there's a great additional part. But basically, there's two lights in the sky. I can't remember if one's an aeroplane or one's a star or something like that. You put your hand... You have someone stand shoulder to shoulder with you. You cover that light with your hand. And when you wave, it's gone. And the extra thing he said to do was, if you're at a party and you have a house behind you, have somebody chuck a load of suitcases out the window on the floor so it sounds like the plane's vanished and all the suitcases. Oh, it's got to be a plane because the suitcases bit. Yeah. So the suit. And so if you showed it to someone, you make an airplane vanish and then the suitcases fall behind you from the air sort of thing.
I love that.
Yeah, the method was okay. Like, it was doable. You could definitely do it. I've yet to ever try it, but I wonder if you could do it like that. And there was something to do with, you have two airplanes. Oh. Do you know what? I'm drawing a blank. I don't want to speculate on it because my memory's terrible. But it was two. That's the thing. You didn't make one vanish. There was two in the air. You make one of the two vanish. So that'll key you to the method if you've got a better memory than me. So you could do something like that. It could be that you maybe take a photo of somebody with the moon behind them and then make the moon vanish on your phone, and when they look in the air, it's gone as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could be done, couldn't it?
Or you can make it appear. It'd be easier to make it appear because they're not going to look for where it's gone.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh.
You know what I mean?
There's a bunch of options for really small scale stuff. It's exciting thinking about how you can do these big illusions impromptu almost.
Yeah. Yeah, we could take a Polaroid of someone or a mini printer and then make the moon vanish from the Polaroid.
Love that.
Which would be quite fun. Or maybe you're in the window of your house and you set up a little projector on the outside the window at a house party.
Because
you can get mini projectors these days, they're tiny. And it projects like Pepper's ghost onto the window. What looks like the moon, and you just don't say anything.
Yeah.
And maybe you have a timer on your phone, so 1 minute past 11, say, the moon will just vanish. So you say, everyone, I gotta fuck it. You know, I'm gonna show you a piece of magic. Maybe you start doing something completely basic, like an ambitious card, right? Or maybe you're gonna do biddle tricks. You're at the point where they think you have five cards, they're holding the deck, and you're like, oh, we need to make something happen for this to work, right? Wait, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, watch. Think about your card. I'm going to need the power of the moon for this. Wait, and then you look at the foot, make sure it's about the right time. You say, look, watch, everyone focus on the moon. I'm going to hold the cards up at the sky. You can see it through the window, right? And then 3, 2, 1, the moon vanishes. And now the card's gone too. And then you say, go ahead, spread your hands. By the time you've done that, they spread through the real card. Now you say, everyone go outside and have a look for the moon, and it's back. And it's the real moon.
That's cool.
And maybe you hide the projector in like some sort of, you know, trash can or something outside. Or one of those.
How convincing do you think that would be from outside? They'd have to be quite far away from the window.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, it depends on the angle, the location, what you shine it against. I mean, it'd probably be better if they couldn't get up too close to the window, you know, if it was on a balcony and they could see it through the balcony glass, maybe.
Yeah.
Or in like on, I don't know, if you're on a boat. What if it vanishes the reflection of a puddle? Say, look, I don't want you to stay directly at the moon because this is quite freaky, but look down at the puddle and you can see the moon, right? You can see your face, you can see the moon. 3, 2, 1. And it just vanishes, maybe. You splash the puddle and it goes.
This is cool.
Could work, right?
Yeah. I'm literally just sat here listening to you go through all these ideas whilst I'm dying, sorry. Not really contributing very much whatsoever.
No, it's all
tell
good.
Me, sorry, tell me my stories, Lloyd, as I'm on my deathbed.
It could be something. Have you seen those balloons you could buy and put an LED light inside them?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can get ones that look like the moon.
Probably, yeah.
Imagine you have one of those a certain distance so it looks like the moon.
Yeah.
And literally, if you're looking through a window, then it's in a certain position. It's got some fishing wire on it, maybe. So it's, you know, a mile up in the air or something, half a mile up in the air. And you draw the curtains for a brief second, which makes sense, right? Windows curtains. Somebody cuts the wire, the helium goes up, open it,
you
get 10 seconds of ta-da, it's gone. By the time they rush over, hopefully we'll have floated up so high with a cross breeze that it's gone and they can't see out the angle of the window.
That could work.
Or they pull it down and burst it.
Yeah.
You know, have a little pin thing inside this, it just pops it midair. As you close the curtains.
Someone sitting there with an air rifle.
Or just turn the LED off.
Yeah, true. I wonder when in February he's going to do it. So you're going to have a empty Blackpool if he does it on a certain date.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Oh, that's interesting. What do you do on Valentine's Day? A lover's moon or something?
Oh, I hope so.
Will it be one of those like blood moons or? Yeah.
Oh. See, I was thinking about this earlier, like maybe that's something like that plays into it, some kind of lunar event that isn't like a huge thing, but it's like the right circumstances to be able to get away with it. Satan type of projection or something.
Let me see. Lunar events in 2024. Astronomy calendar of events, of celestial events. Have a look at February, shall we? So 2024.
February 2024.
January. Okay. February the 9th is a new. Is a, I can't speak because I've got such a blocked nose still. It's a new moon.
Yeah.
So the moon will. It's supposed to say B, but it says the moon will locate it on the same side of the Earth as the sun and will not be visible in the night sky. Oh.
Okay.
This phase occurs at 11 o'clock UTC.
I've just got a new idea.
Go on.
Saturday the 10th of Feb is the Chinese New Year. The right. Lunar New Year. It's the year of the dragon. What if it's a big fuck off dragon eating the moon? Yeah, man.
So on February 24th is a full moon. So that's interesting. On the 9th of February, the moon will be located on the same side of the Earth as the sun and will not be visible in the night sky.
Oh, really?
This phase occurs at, yeah, that's what I said, February the 9th. So this phase occurs at 11 UTC. This is the best time of the month to observe faint objects such as galaxies, star clusters. So February the 9th, there is no moon in the sky.
Oh, well, it just accidentally gave it away.
Well, he may not do it on February the 9th.
Well, yeah, but if he does, you've ruined it for us, Lloyd.
But what if he does it a few days before or after? And it's a pre-recorded thing that's made to look like it's streaming live on YouTube.
I didn't even think of that.
So he's using time as his method.
Yeah.
Time displacement.
What do you think about that ethically?
If it creates the feeling of wonder, that's fine.
Yeah. Same. Because I remember there's have been a few Derren Brown things in the past that were technically pre-recorded. And people absolutely hated that.
The best method is like the one that
works.
Yeah. But also, for me, it's like, of course, as a magician, I want to see a method that fools me.
Yeah.
Or that I can go, oh, I appreciate that. But who are we doing magic for? That's what I have to keep saying to myself anyway. Like, I've searched for years and years and years to find like the best trick to do to a. If somebody comes up to me and they haven't seen magic before and they were like, they're like 506, what trick? I always think, like, what trick would I do? And I've lately sort of come to the realization that the trick I'm going to do probably is Dr. Daly's last trick. Because it was the trick that I got shown at that age. Yeah. I was waiting to meet Wayne Dobson backstage. He performed a theatre show in my local theatre. And he'd sprayed cards into the audience, had a handful of cards. There was two guys waiting in the queue. I have no idea who they are to this day. And they said, oh, what have you got there? I said, I've got cards. And they said, oh, do you want to see a magic trick? I said, yes, please. I was with my mum. They took four cards off me. They said, put the rest in your pocket. They give me two red cards to hold on to. They held on to two black cards. And they instantly switched places. And I can't remember the next 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
Because it was absolutely... I'd been shown tricks, but my grandfather also taught me tricks. So no tricks really had that crazy, like, profound feeling of magic. And I think that's why I fell in love with creating as opposed to performing. But the trick, the first time I seen a piece of magic that absolutely left me like, okay, there are other dimensions. There wasn't, you know, but was that. So if that worked on me, why not do that sort of thing? I can't remember what my point was.
It was just about, you know, the audience not really caring.
Yeah. So, yeah. So as a connoisseur of magic, I'm like, I want to go, well, I would show that 8-year-old a can. He could name any card at any number. He could hold the deck. He could shuffle it. He could deal down the card and be there. But really, that would only be interesting to fool a magician. A kid would be fucking bored of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, one of my most hated moves in the entire world of magic, and it probably get some flack for it, but whatever. I hate the Spellbound move so much.
Do you?
Like, I hate it with a passion. The amount of tells in that, I just think I can't stand it. But I know for a fact it kills Layman.
Yeah. It fooled me when I went to my first match convention.
Yeah.
The session. I didn't know about the move, and it fooled me.
Yeah.
I can't
bring myself to do it. Maybe because I'm not skilled enough as well. But every time I see it performed, I just think, well, there's only one thing that's going to be happening there. But yeah, it still kills them all the time, and so it doesn't really matter about my opinion on it.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you've got to, like, I think you should, you know, if you're going to choose to perform effects that are classified as, you know, basics or stuff, you should have to, I think you should at least like them yourself or have experienced, had a good experience with them.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people would turn their nose up at the, like, I do the Biddle trick a lot. A lot of people turn their nose up at that. In fact, every time I perform, if I get a chance to do like a little set, Biddle trick will be in there without a shadow of a doubt. I don't do Doc Daly's ass trick a lot because if normally who I perform to are people who are a little bit like older. But I know a lot of people would not choose to do Biddle trick to kids or people. I don't know. I kind of feel like I would choose to do the Biddle trick, the Doc Daly's ass trick, sorry, to people I felt could become magicians. You know, sometimes you get a feel about someone who could just love it.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah, but you have to, I think, if you're going to be, like, not a snob, because I will, you know, but if you're going to have that mindset, I think you have to at least like what part of the effect.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I say that, it is literally just an opinion of, like, something that I don't like performing myself. But I see people kill with it all the time.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, it's completely stumped me when I first seen it. So, man, there's so much food for thought on the table here. I think Copperfield is an absolute fucking boss just for even going to do it, let alone do it to create. It's going to be a global event. He's announcing it 4 months. What is it? 4 months? 5 months ahead of time? 4 months ahead of time. This is going to be huge. This is like, because he'll know that, you know, it's kind of like we are in that cancel culture era. Not so much, he's not going to get cancelled. Like, he's not going to do anything to get cancelled, but you sort of live and die on your, you're only as strong as your last performance in this era now. Like Tyson Fury boxing, right? Had a really piss poor performance on the weekend. Normally, Tyson Fury will fight to his opponent's level. So, you know, it's the hardest fights he's ever had are against like the weakest ones or the lower ranked opponent. But for the outside person, the people that are not into boxing, they think he's done. They've washed away his whole legacy. They don't think he can fight beat the future contenders like Usyk. They think he's washed because you live and die on your last performances these days. And Copperfield has to know that. So it takes, first of all, just mad respect. Like, just mad respect. It takes balls of steel. But I think if anyone's going to be able to do it and nail it, it's going to be Copperfield.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, it's almost like you just can't fail. You've got that much behind you. That many years, apparently, of doing the work for it.
Yeah.
That much money that you can put into research and the best consultants and the best technology needed. He can't fail.
Would you, if you were him, would you consider painting the Statue of Liberty vanish red? As in, 30 years ago, I made the Statue of Liberty vanish. It's no secret that I did that by turning the audience to the side and using clever optical trickery to make it look like it was gone. However, it was just an illusion. Yeah. I've spent the last 30 years trying to create the best piece of magic you'll ever see. There will be no turning of the audience. There'll be no nothing in this. Every part of this will be scientifically, you know, under investigation. You know, would you? I almost feel like, you know, it'll add a bit of credence to what he's going to do.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he has done a little bit with even just the small amount of stuff he's said about it so far, about it being work, about there being a method. It's almost like kind of a soft admittance. Like, well, this is a trick, so you can't get mad at me. I'm not saying I'm going to make the moon disappear. But my favorite thing is going on the comments on his Instagram, and it's just hundreds of people saying, please, David, you can't do this. It'll ruin the oceans. the
really?
Pull of the ocean. Yeah, like, obviously people taking the piss, but like these super serious comments, like, don't do it, David. You'll destroy the
Earth. Some people
are
not taking the piss. You do get those crazy local MFs that believe this sort of stuff. I've had comments before, people are like, oh, this is black magic, you go to hell.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, well, I'm literally showing you the thread. You can see the magnet. Jesus. Yeah, that's interesting, though, but the moon controls the water. Now, that is cool.
That's a convincer.
That's a convincer and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Mm. That's cool. The moon controls the tides.
That would be really, really cool.
Imagine he got people on a beach.
Yeah.
You know, on a new moon, the moon vanishes, the water rushes out. And then, you know, so it's like, oh my God, the moon's gone. Then it rushes back in.
See, that's almost, yeah, that's almost too cool for it to happen on a live stream.
Thing is, he does own an island. He owns Mushuke Island. So he could have
better way to do it.
Well, he could have the beach rise up so the water vanishes. It only needs to rise up half a meter if it's shallow.
Yeah.
Right? Then also if there's a mountain, the moon could hide behind that because of peripherals. Not peripherals, because of angles, you know, yeah. So it tilts up, hide in, and then the water would go out, and as it tilts back down, the water would come back in and the moon would come back into view.
Do you think he'll do it on his private island?
Would you want to screw your house up? I mean, I'd do it.
I'd do it on my private island. I think that's I hadn't even thought of that. That would be so cool if there was something to do with water going on. If there was other little convincers and it wasn't just this big illusion, if there was little actual subtleties put into play.
I love this. Oh, God. Yeah, the water element is cool. Do you know, I almost wonder if he's put the feelers out there to hear what people's thoughts on the method are going to be. And then,
yeah,
you know, cross them off the list. Or look for sort of crowdsource it in a way.
Yeah, but you think he'd give himself more than 4 months' time if he was crowdsourcing new methods.
Yeah, true.
Because that's a hell of a, like, deadline for a huge, huge illusion. Although, stranger things have probably happened.
Yeah, 4 months is enough time to do anything, really.
Yeah, I mean, I know people who've came up with the method the day before something happens.
Yeah, yeah. Just be open to
pivot. Whilst shooting.
Anyway, this is, I think we're at like the 50-minute mark, 45-minute mark. Both of me and Jake, my nose is blocked. Jake's ass is blocked. Jake's like, he's like, man, what's that for?
Are you going to do me like that, bro? Apologies for not really speaking very much, and you definitely carried that for me then. I was just like a mannequin. It was a weekend of Bernie's podcast.
Oh, dude, don't worry. I'm sorry to everyone that had to listen to my blocked nose and like sipping of coffee all the way through it. But that was fun because I feel like I know so much more about Copperfield, or think I know what he's going to do, and I know so much less. Throwing in like those those spanners, like, oh yeah, but what about the moon? What about the tides? What about this? It's like, there's so much he could do. So much he could do.
So cool. So, well, this weekend, we'll be at the London Magic Convention.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to be at the London Magic Convention if you listen to this? If you are, hit us up at theblackartco.com. Find us on the Facebook group. Find us on Instagram. Let us know if you want to meet up, hang out, talk about methods to make the moon vanish. See if we can talk about something when we're there. Help.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Hyde Park from like 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. when my hotel check-in opens on Saturday. So please, someone come get coffee with me.
Yeah, I'll be there from about midday on Saturday, I think. So also, we can meet up then. But yeah, I'm super hyped. I wonder if we could come up with something there. I'm so tempted to buy a little projector.
Do it.
To try something. We'll see.
I'll try and come up with a really crappy impromptu method if you do.
Okay, let's do it. That's the challenge by Saturday.
Okay, Saturday night.
Epic. All right, guys. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button some way, shape, or form so you can hear the next podcast or the notification bell. Find us on the blackartco.com, the Facebook groups, and we'll hopefully see you at the London Magic Convention.
Hell yeah. And leave a review on the podcast, actually, because never asked that before.
Oh, yeah, that helps. Please leave reviews on your preferred listening platform. Can imagine the reviews right now. The podcast is just two fat guys with blocked orifices talking about tricks they can't even do.
It's been 32 episodes. You've got to have one where it's just like a shit show. Literally.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I've been Lloyd.
I've been Jake.
Until next week, episode 33.